the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is based on the Gospel, John chapter 14, verses 23 to 31. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we'll come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, the origin of Pentecost dates back to the time when the children of Israel entered the Promised Land. It was known at first as the Festival of Weeks because it was celebrated 7 full weeks, or 50 days, after the Passover. It was also known as the Feast of the Harvest because it concluded the harvest of the later grain. Furthermore, it was known as the Day of First Fruits because the first loaves made from the new grain were then offered on the altar. Christians observe Pentecost, the 50th day after Easter, being the Lord's resurrection, and the 10th day after his ascension, because of the fact that on this day, according to Christ's promise and a number of prophecies of old, the Holy Spirit was poured upon the disciples of Christ at Jerusalem, and because of that day, the Christian church was born. Pentecost not only has a history, but also a message. Of old, the message of Pentecost was teaching one of the law. It was kept according to the ceremonial laws. Today, the message of Pentecost is a gospel message. Let us therefore consider the message of the Christian's Pentecost. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, a message of love. Our gospel lesson from Pentecost contains a wonderful message of love. There are two parts to it. Firstly, it is the love of Jesus for his disciples. The parting Saviour is engaged in comforting his sorrowing disciples who are not of the world, but must continue in the world, although the world hates them for Jesus' sake. The comfort of his visible presence is about to be withdrawn from them, but he promises his disciples not to leave them comfortless, fatherless, or orphaned, but to send them another comforter and helper who was to abide with them forever. Jesus promises them that he and his Father and the Holy Spirit, for where the Father and the Son are, the Holy Spirit will also be, will come and make their abode with them, if they but love him and keep his words. Jesus promises to send them the Comforter who was to open their understanding in order that his, that is their Master's words, might no longer be proverbs, that is dark mystical sayings. And also bestows upon them in order to calm their troubled hearts the benediction of his peace. And this peace is such a peace that the world cannot give. It speaks of the joy that will be theirs if they love him and understand the meaning of his going to the Father, both for himself and for them. See how the Master loves his disciples in spite of all of their shortcomings. What loving concern Jesus shows in behalf of their welfare. Secondly, it is the love of the Father for Christ's disciples. Our text says, "And my Father will love him." Christ's disciples are all those who love him and keep his words. Jesus does not deny that his disciples are such. He is merely stating a fact which people are so apt to forget, and which therefore must be stated again and again. And what a love! The Father's love for the followers of Christ. A love like that of our Saviour. It moves him and his Son, Jesus Christ, to do what Jesus says here. We will come to him and make our home with him, that is, with him whom we love. The term our home, not merely a temporary visit, but an abiding stay, come to him through the means of grace, through the words and the sacraments. Make our home with him means with and in him. And we refers to the Holy Trinity. Marvellous love, the love of the Holy Trinity for those who love Christ and keep his words. Such love for Christ, of course, presupposes saving faith in Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Such faith works by love. The triune God is with them always and within them. Jesus says it, and he adds, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And that is true of all Jesus ever told them. It is true of what he has said to them just now. And this is the Christian's Pentecost gospel, a message of the love of God for the followers of Christ, and yes, for all people. And love begets love. God's love for man cannot fail to find a response in the hearts of men, especially the hearts of those who know him, the Father, Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Therefore, our Pentecostal gospel of disciple love for Christ. If anyone loves me, if you love me, Christ desires to be loved by all people, for he has redeemed them all. The Father desires to be loved by all people, for he so loved them that he gave his only begotten Son to be their Saviour. And the Holy Spirit loves them all so much that he would sanctify them through faith in the gospel which he inspired the apostles to write. And this is illustrated by the command in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. However, the love of God on the part of man demands knowledge of God, that knowledge upon which the saving faith rests, that faith, the fruit of which is love, the love of God and man. Yes, there must be love of man for all people also, Christians for one another, for their neighbour, and even for their enemies. Scripture says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? On Pentecost, the Christian church was born. By the grace of God, we are members of it and enjoy its glorious blessings. These are the reasons to love God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. These are the reasons to show our love to our fellow men by bringing them the saving message of love, the glad tidings of grace of God in Jesus Christ. The Christian's Pentecost is a message of love. Secondly, the Christian's Pentecost is also a message of light. Christ's disciples needed light at the time when Jesus spoke his farewell words to them. They were in the dark concerning many things that he spoke to them. To us who know all that happened later, Jesus' words about his death, about his resurrection, and also ascension are clear to us. But to the disciples who were filled with the Jewish prejudice, they appeared exceedingly obscure. The light is promised. Our text says, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. The Comforter, Helper, the Spirit of Truth would come. The Father would send him in Christ's name, and he would enlighten them. He would serve as their teacher, giving them the understanding of all things which they still had in their memory, and recalling to their mind such things as they had forgotten. The promise is fulfilled. The apostles were enlightened. Now they understood what Christ's death and resurrection meant. The light which came to the apostles on Pentecost is still shining in the world today. Look for it in the New Testament. The apostles were guided into all truth, not into new truths, but into the truth of all things that Christ said to you by the Holy Spirit. This occurred when they wrote as well as when they spoke. Here is an indisputable proof for the inspiration of the New Testament, through which the Holy Spirit even today enlightens all who come to Christ, having called them by the very gospel with which it, together with the Old Testament, also inspired by the Holy Spirit. Through the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, he has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That excellency of knowledge save poor treasures, revealed in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Who then will deny that the message of the Christian's Pentecost is one of light? You are the light of the world. We read in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So thirdly, a message of peace. Christ's disciples were in need of peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, Jesus says to them. They were no longer of the world and could therefore expect no favours of the world. But Christ gives them peace. Our text says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Peace is the opposite of being troubled at heart and being afraid. The latter was a condition of our hearts because the Master told them that he was going away. Nothing in this world has to offer could make up for their loss of Jesus, they thought. And it is true. Christ lost, everything lost. Christ gained, everything gained. In view of their great sorrow at his going, the Lord, seeking to quiet their troubled hearts, said, I will not leave you comfortless or orphans. I will come to you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus promises the coming of the Holy Trinity to them in the words of our text with the term our. But they admittedly do not understand, and therefore the Lord promises them the Comforter who will help them. By these truths and promises, Jesus provided for their peace in the time of his approaching departure. But the expression refers also to the peace which is given to all people who love the Saviour. The Lord condemns them because of their sins, and they are troubled. But by faith in Jesus, they are reconciled to God. Their conscience is at ease because of the forgiveness of their sins. Eternal life is assured to them, and thus the peace of God, which passes all understanding, rests upon them. That primarily is the peace that Jesus bequeaths to his followers. Jesus calls it my peace because he procured it for all sinners on Calvary. He gives, offers, conveys, and seals peace to men through the means of grace. Of such a peace, the world knows nothing. The enjoyment of Christ's peace came to the disciples fully on the day of Pentecost and continued with them throughout life. Realizing the preciousness of it, they also wanted others to have it and at once proclaimed it to the multitudes. And through their message and blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit, the same peace is spent upon 3,000 of their hearers that very day. Christ's peace is offered to all people in the gospel, which Christians are commissioned to preach the world over. Blessed are those who search the scriptures. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And blessed are those who proclaim it. Truly, the message of the Christian's Pentecost is one of peace. So fourthly, it is also a message of joy. This joy is not the pleasures of sin, worldly lusts, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. Such pleasures are they. Moreover, they war against the soul, and the Lord very emphatically warns against them. This joy is heavenly joy. Our text says, if you love me, you would rejoice. How true. As surely are those who love Christ will keep his words, just as surely will those who love Christ be full of joy, and that joy be kindled in their hearts through his words. Could there be a more joy-enkindling message than Christ's words, the gospel? Just think of the Christmas message. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Think of the Easter message. He is risen, as he said. And the Pentecost message of our text. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What joy also to hear of Christ going to the Father, knowing what it means for the Saviour, namely, the end of his deep humiliation, and for the sin-cursed world, namely, the completion of his redemptive work, the overthrow of the kingdom of Satan, the establishment on earth of the Christian church, and light, peace, and joy for its members, knowing that it also is a proof of his love for the Father, with all that it implies, and of his willing obedience. So let us be joyful on Pentecost. It is a message, unmistakably the purest and sweetest gospel message, a message of love, light, peace, and joy. Let us conclude with the words of the hymnist, Saviour, since of Zion's city, I through grace a member am, let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name. Failing as is a worldly pleasure, all its boasted pomp and show, solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.